Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
What's up?
You can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast. The site is DallasHoopsCast.com. I'm on Twitter at underscore Sydney Myers. Hey, so you know how last time I said that DallasHoopsCast.com was named a top 10 Mavericks blog by Feedspot.com? Mm-hmm. So it turns out also Dallas Hoops Fancast was named a top 10 Mavs podcast by Feedspot.com. Also, still don't know if Feedspot, if what
doesn't
this
matter.
Means.
The
I don't know what
is,
it means.
The fact is we're in the top 10.
The fact is we're
any,
there. And yes. I do know that there's got to be more than 10 Mavs podcasts. Because I feel like there's a lot. Every time I look...
There's 500.
For
I just
a
did
new
a search
one,
right now.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. So that's pretty cool. Thank you to all the listeners who, you know, you guys are part of this. Obviously,
so far,
we wouldn't be doing this.
Close to a million listens now.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
In my 999,000.
You're close. You're really close. Okay, so there's a lot to talk about because we haven't done an episode in forever. And it just so happens that... A big thing happened, what, yesterday? Yeah, because today is Tuesday. Doc Rivers was fired by the Clippers. And now I know, like, this isn't Mavericks related. So I figured, you know, just to have sort of an excuse to talk about it, I'll put a Mavericks spin on it.
I don't think it's necessary, but okay.
So we'll start it with this, and then we can just talk about it. Okay. Doc Rivers, would you take him over Rick Carlisle?
No. Why were we even... Okay, let's just talk about it. That was unnecessary.
That was my segue into making
it
relevant.
Very shocking, though, because obviously Doc Rivers has the reputation that he has. He's won a championship in 2008 with...
Like 20 years ago with
but he still won
three
one.
Hall of Famers.
I mean, Rick Carlisle won in 2011. That's almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
So it goes by really fast.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right.
All I'm saying is... He has a reputation for being one of the top coaches in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think if anybody could manage the personalities on that Clipper team, it would have been him.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I guess it's Ballmer or Steve
Ballmer.
Decided he wanted to move on.
Yeah, there was this article on ESPN that I'm pretty sure is by Ramona Shelburne. And I mean, I assume she's got some sort of insight into this. But, you know, again, this is reporting, but she talked about like what led to the firing. And basically just Ballmer didn't want to give him another chance. It said that they had talked about things they could do differently schematically or how they could get the players motivated next season, things they could do to build chemistry. And ultimately, you know, Rivers was looking at it in that way and Ballmer was looking at it as, well, why don't we already have that? Like, why don't they play hard? Why weren't they motivated?
Yeah.
This, you know, and I mean, chemistry, right, comes and goes. But schematically, I know there were criticisms of, even against the Mavericks, adjustments that they could have made.
Earlier in the series.
Yeah, with Montrezl Harrell being on the court whenever Boban was and just getting torched. And really the big man matchup, a lot of people were critical of the lack of adjustments. I don't know. Personally, I feel like, so, okay, you know, Harrell, he can't play against a big man. Well, it's like, well, you got Boban or Kristaps. What are you supposed to do? Just not ever play him? To me, I kind of felt like maybe he didn't have another option.
Well, I think this is where you talk about the balance between using advanced analytics and your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Because I asked a guy, he's a Clippers kind of beat writer or whatever, when I was back on the Twitters. And I asked him, you know, is Doc Rivers a analytics guy? Or is he a gut guy? And he said he's 100% a gut guy. He doesn't even...
Old school.
Yeah, he doesn't look at analytics. And I think there's got to be some balance. Obviously, you don't want to be too far one way or the other. But his gut kept telling him that Harrell's been great all year. He should be... He's eventually going to get
Turn it around.
Yes. Yeah. And Zubats is Zubats. And that's really all there is to it. But the advanced numbers indicated that when Zubats was on the floor, you were destroying the Mavericks. Mm. When Harrell was on the court, you were getting destroyed. So
and that certain matchups.
Yes, just, and he yeah. but he didn't recognize those. He I don't know what his thought process was.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Doc Rivers other than the fact that he's won a championship and he has a reputation, but he's never been our coach, so we never analyzed him the way we did like Carlisle. And but the people that were close to the organization felt that he was overrated as a coach.
They were the fans were pretty critical, mm-hmm. even like not just you know now, but during the Mavericks series. I remember reading stuff on Reddit, and they weren't as high on him as I expected. And I mean, I guess maybe it's easy to say that because they weren't playing very well. But
even before the playoffs started, they felt that way. They felt that way even before the season, based on some of the feedback I'd got. And I think it goes back to the fact that he's lost now three series when he's up 3-1, it's like, well, at what point is it no longer coincidence?
Yeah.
And if you are not going to look at advanced stats to help that guide some of your decision making, then you're not going to make the proper adjustments. Whereas these other coaches are like, hey, if he continues to play hero, we'll just keep doing this and we'll destroy them.
Yeah.
And in Doc Rivers' mind's like, no, that's Montrezl Harrell, and he's a quality player.
I mean, I think there's a balance. Like, I was listening to a pod, and I wish I could remember who it was, but it was a player, and he was saying that, you know, he understood the struggle of being a coach and thinking, like, gosh, can I not play my sixth man of the year, you know, and how difficult that decision would be. And then also for that player-coach relationship, like, if you – well, not bench him because he already comes off the bench. But if you don't play him, what does that do to that relationship? I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds, but he made the wrong decision. And I think at like maybe to your point, at some point, when do you realize I have to make a change? And I think people just felt like his changes came too late or he didn't make the change at all.
Yeah.
Do you think – so given the way that the clip – well, now they've been eliminated and they were eliminated by the Nuggets – do you think that the Mavericks could have beat them if...
if they were fully healthy?
Yeah.
I mean, I think schematically they were running a better offense. They were...
you think Carlisle out-coached him?
Carlisle was out-coaching him, clearly. Yeah. It, just the level of talent, though, was so far lopsided. Now, if Porzingis kept playing and he played at a high level that he had been playing the last 50 games of the year, then there's...
or just the way he was in the bubble.
Yeah. There. I mean, he averaged 30 points a game in the bubble.
Yeah.
There's a high chance that they could have at least taken them to seven, but they may have even have beaten them because clearly when things got difficult, when they were really having to fight hard, the Clippers didn't show up.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, that game seven against the Nuggets, it was like all these guys that are always trash talking, you know, Montrez and Patrick Beverley and Marcus Morris, they weren't doing any of that in that game. And it was like... they act all tough, but they're not really. Like, they don't really...
it's fake toughness.
Yeah, they can't really grind it out. They, you know, they were... the ball was like a hot potato in that game. Nobody wanted to take a shot. Yep. And so... and I think the Nuggets showed that of, you know, just being resilient and persistent, and you can beat them because they don't really want to battle it out. Yeah. And I think the Mavericks are just like... like, I tweeted, the Nuggets this year were so much like the 2011 of Mavericks, just having that persistent...
would never quit.
Yeah. And so I think if they were healthy, I mean, how... I can't believe that they wouldn't have beat them.
Like, yeah, I mean...
you know, the Nuggets, I would say, probably are better than the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know, not by a lot. Especially with Kristaps healthy, I don't know. I think
a lot of matchup problems for Jokic because... I mean, really, it would have been a great series, I think. Mavs Nuggets.
Oh, okay, still thinking if the Mavs could beat the Clippers.
The Clippers, yeah. I think they had a chance. I think the only difference is, like, coaching schemes and adjustments only go so far. At some point, you have to have some measure of talent. And I think the talent difference between the Nuggets and the Clippers wasn't as great as it was between the Mavericks and the Clippers.
Yeah.
And so because their talent was just so much more overwhelming compared to the Mavs, I don't know if they would have been able to beat them. Now, again, with Porzingis, who knows? Who knows what would have happened because he was playing, he was averaging 30 points a game for a while there.
Like, this is a lot of what ifs and all that. But if Kristaps doesn't get kicked out of game one, if Kristaps is completely healthy the whole series,
and if Luka doesn't
turn his ankle, I mean, but I mean, you know, that's the playoffs. Those injuries happen. A lot of times a team wins because those things don't go there or go their way. So it's a lot of what ifs, but you know.
But when you're the Mavericks and you're evaluating your team and where you stand, that's kind of what you go off. Like,
it's encouraging.
Yeah. I'll say that that whole issue of that teams a lot of times have turning it on and turning it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this whole mindset the Clippers will turn it on when it matters.
Yeah.
And if you go back in history and you start hearing the news media and the players start saying that about your team, they never turn it on when it matters. Because clearly there's another issue there. Mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of turning it on and off.
Well, and also, like, those players, they've never turned it on.
Right.
You're like, what has Beverly done in the playoffs? Or Marcus Morris? Or Montrezl Harrell? Or Zubats? I mean, obviously you have guys like Paul George and Kawhi and Lou Williams, but those guys have never turned it on.
Well, and I think that was part of the coaching decision. The problem where they had, even Doc Rivers had this mindset that they can just turn it on when they need to, and they'll run over a team.
Maybe, like, he didn't take it seriously.
Well, and so the actual flaws of the team that needed to be worked on, they were ignored.
They weren't corrected.
Yes.
Or he didn't make the adjustments.
Exactly. And so, like, one of the issues was they didn't have a fight in them.
Mm-hmm.
That showed throughout the regular season. And instead of working on that, fixing it, they were like, oh, we'll turn it on when it matters.
Yeah.
But really, that ended up being their downfall. They just didn't have enough fight. I also think they had some serious chemistry issues. Yeah.
Okay, so now that the finals are set, most of the playoffs are over, there's always some fallout from things like this. So, for example, with the Clippers, with it being just like, oh my god, nobody predicted this, there could be more shakeups there that maybe people didn't expect.
Anticipate.
So, for example, Montrezl Harrell, there's talk about him. He's on his contract ends actually in 2020.
He's a free agent this year.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent. So
this fall.
I mean, or maybe this winter, depending on. So, I don't know. There's talk from Mavs fans. Would you take him? Some are like, absolutely not, because of the whole thing with Luka. What do you think?
I think it depends on the money. Right. I would love to have him.
But just assuming like it's a good contract.
Yeah, I would take him in a heartbeat, because now you're combining his, because he is tough and he is a bully and he is physical. I think he's also a little bit smarter than Paul George and Marcus Morris, and kind of got caught up in that. But a pick and roll through stretches of a game with Luka and Harrell would be very effective. And Carlisle would put him in situations where he is successful. The guy averaged 20 points a game.
He averaged 18.5 points off the bench, less than 28 minutes.
So having that coming off your bench with Carlisle able to put him in positions where he's going to be successful, I absolutely would take him in a heartbeat.
Do you think he would come off the bench here, or would you want him starting?
Okay. No, I think he just is too deficient on some aspects. Like, offensively, he's great in pick and roll. Pick and roll offense, he's awesome. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, he's not really a good rebounder. He's a terrible defender.
He averaged 7.1 rebounds.
Yeah, but he's a little undersized.
Yeah.
So, and 7.1 rebounds in today's league.
Yeah, he's 6'7".
Yeah, he's really has a lot of deficiencies, so you don't want that as your starter. But for 25 minutes, 30 minutes coming off the bench, and while he's on there, your offensive rating is 121 point whatever. It's the same with Dwight Powell. If Carlisle can make Dwight Powell relevant in today's league, or Brandon Wright or Brandon Bass, all these guys that when they leave, he can make Montrezl Harrell relevant or really, really good.
Okay, so next one, the Celtics. I think a lot of people expected them to go a little further. And there's talk that Gordon Hayward might be available. He's a free agent in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, I don't know what this is, if it's a player option or a team option. Would you want to trade for him, or say when he's a free agent, sign him?
I don't know. I mean,
he'll be 31 years old.
Yeah.
He had the leg thing. He's had problems off and on.
I would say that if the Mavericks ended up with Gordon Hayward, that was like their plan E.
Okay.
You know, like, granted, if you had him, you're a better team. If he's your small forward, you're a better team because, one, he is actually really good.
Yeah.
He's a quality defender. He doesn't get the reputation for being a quality defender, but he's not bad. So, yeah, I think I would take him, but that would be kind of – they failed on everything else, but they didn't want to go into next year with the same roster.
That's not like a plan A.
Or C.
Or B or C. Yeah. Okay. The Thunder, now they – let go, or Billy Donovan, I guess it was mutual. And so there's talk that they're going to blow that up. The player, obviously, possibly any player will be available, but a lot of people talk about Chris Paul. Would you take Chris Paul?
No. Nah. I mean, he's just the age.
He's too old. He's 34, will be 35.
Yeah, and...
or maybe he's already 35.
Look, he did a great job with the Thunder, but he was on his best behavior.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to be there next year. And there's just too many times in the past where there's players that just don't like him because he's very political. He sometimes kind of gets your coaches fired. He's just had a lot of those kind of issues. And I don't want that involved with this team.
So you mean like he tends to play both sides of trying to get his way and like the office politics.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of rumors about that in the past about that. And then the age, and then, I just don't think he's a fit. I think the Mavs need a shooting guard next to Luka, not a point guard.
Okay, so let's get to a bigger one that we can actually talk about. Because I think I agree with you. Like, I think Montrezl Harrell makes sense. And I get the whole thing with him and Luka. And, I don't know, the fact that he, on his own, apologized. I feel like there's no real beef there and that they do actually respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's different when other guys, like Marcus Morris, I don't think he actually respects.
It sucks because he would have been a perfect fit.
Yeah. I agree that Montrezl Harrell, I think, would be a good fit. Chris Paul, well, yeah, I mean, you know, you'd love to have a guy with that history of being a great player on your team. But like you said, the age, the fit, and Chris Paul was like a different player this year than he ever has been. Everyone this year is like, hey, you know what? He's actually kind of a nice guy. But it's like, well, this is the first year that people have felt that way. So I kind of agree with you on that one. Okay, so the one that just came up today, Victor Oladipo, there's talk that he wants out of Indiana. I mean, to me, that kind of seems like a no-brainer, but I mean, you do have the injury history. Is that a problem?
That's the problem with him, with me. Now, the question is, I mean, if you get Victor Oladipo, you're probably giving Tim Hardaway away for that.
I would say,
That would be part of the deal.
Yeah.
Is Victor Oladipo a better player than Tim Hardaway? I would say in some aspects, yes. But Tim Hardaway, with that catch-and-shoot three ability with Luka Doncic, is very, very effective. They actually play on the offensive end of the side of the court.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfect for each other. They're a match made in heaven. But Oladipo brings some of the other things that the Mavericks were lacking. Playmaking, for example.
Defense.
And he is a good shooter, too. So he can spot up and catch and shoot.
He shot almost 32%. Actually, that's not very good. Well, no. I'm sorry. That was this year with all the injuries and all that. Last year, he shot 34%.
So he's an adequate three-point shooter. But he's a better playmaker, and he's a better defensive player. And... So you're basically swapping out Hardaway for Oladipo. Does that make you a better team?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so here's the problem with being a fan of a team, and I think it was Kirk Henderson brought this out on Twitter. Like, when you watch every game, you tend to overrate your own players. I think that happens all the time. And so it's like with Hardaway, there's a lot of things that I love about him that he does really well. And so you get caught up in like, okay, no, he did this so well. They fit because of this. You can't get rid of him. It's like, well, no, you weren't good enough this year to accomplish the ultimate goal. So somebody's got to go.
Was he part of that problem?
And that's the hard part.
I think
part.
The person that we're having that need to have that conversation about is Dorian.
Yeah.
We all love Dorian. He's a fan favorite. He's great. But is he that guy? If Dorian was on the 2016 Golden State Warriors or Cleveland Cavaliers, is he even playing?
Well, okay, so here's, playing the devil's advocate. you know, every championship team, it's not like every single guy is an all-star averaging 15 points a game on the starting lineup.
Correct.
I mean, even going back to the Mavs, you had Deshaun Stevenson starting.
But is that Dorian? Is he
if
that
we're just
level?
Saying Deshaun Stevenson, I think he could be.
Okay.
Now, I don't think his defense is there yet. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, he has progressed every year. If he continues to do that, then yes.
Yes,
he fits.
Okay, but if the Mavs had an opportunity to upgrade over Deshaun Stevenson, do you think they would have?
Well, no, but just because I know the Mavs. They don't do things like that.
Okay, let's just say hypothetically, they offered you
at that point
Tracy McGrady. Deshaun Stevenson. You're telling me they wouldn't do that trade?
Yes, they would,
okay,
but
so,
I mean, that's...
Let's say it's okay. Prime Bruce Bowen.
Okay, but the problem is that trade doesn't happen. McGrady for... You always to give up something in order to get that thing
100%
back.
100% agreed. I'm saying is, was that Tim Hardaway? Is Tim Hardaway the piece you have to upgrade?
Okay.
So is it really an upgrade when you're going Victor Oladipo? Now, if you're going Oladipo a couple of years ago when he's healthy and he's the star in Indiana,
yeah.
100% hands down, you make that decision. You make that call. You get him. But is that going to be the guy that you get? And if it's not, is he an upgrade over Tim Hardaway? Now, defensively, you would say
maybe,
yes.
But even
but
that's
who
affected
knows,
by
yeah,
injuries.
And then who knows if you actually dig deep into it. You know, do the advanced analytics, is he actually a good defender or is he a Patrick Beverley and just has this reputation
I don't
for
think
being
he's
a good defender?
That.
All I'm saying
yeah,
is Tim Hardaway the piece you have to upgrade? Is he what was holding you back?
See, to me, I see it as a puzzle and the pieces have to fit just right. And sometimes that means that you do have a guy like Dorian starting on a championship team, but he just the puzzle pieces fit so well that it works, you know, and that could mean that you have literally everything else and you just need a guy that can hit some three pointers and play defense and that works. But it might mean that no, that you need to use that spot that Dorian fills to do something more.
Yeah, you need that guy.
Yeah. And yeah, and I think that's the point.
Yeah,
is like
need
you
that
need
guy.
That guy.
So
either
you upgrade the
is it
third
either Hardaway
potential star
or Dorian.
Yeah, so
or,
then
I mean, something else.
So then you're upgrading your third best player, essentially.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, because Dorian's going to be Dorian no matter what the level of talent is around him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be that guy.
Right.
He's going to be starting in the
he's
finals.
A contributor.
He's
that's a role
it.
Player. Yeah.
So can you upgrade the other guys that make a different impact, like scoring and playmaking? Because you have the role player, the defender, you know, the hustle guy. You have a top-notch talent in that particular field. So, yeah, I don't know. With Oladipo, if you could find a way to not give up Tim Hardaway, then I would be happy with that. But I just don't know how.
See, like, okay, so
I guess it depends his contract.
Yeah, I think that Dorian is... I think he's the perfect guy for a starting lineup, even on a championship team,
mm-hmm.
because he fills that role really well. And the bigger point is that he's cheap.
I see what you're saying with Dorian. I kind of agree with that.
Well, I'm
so
not
then,
saying that like to, you know, continue argument or whatever.
I'm right. No.
I'm just like to continue the conversation. I think that they're going to end up keeping him because he's cheap and he fills the role. Yeah. It's not like it'd be different if you're paying Dorian Hardaway money, but you're not.
Yeah. So then, I mean, the question is, can you trust that? Because now you're asking two guys that are part of your building blocks of the future in Oladipo and Porzingis, they have serious health questions.
Yeah, that's true.
And do you have that much trust in your medical staff compared to any other staff that person's not going to get injured? You can't control everything. Like a guy landing on your knee going in for a rebound doesn't matter what you prepare for.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen from time to time. Now, I know an MCL isn't really that serious.
Yeah, I think he's already fine.
Yeah,
like,
he could have played on it.
Pictures on Instagram of him working out.
Yeah, so he probably even could have played and would have been. But there's no point in risking. I completely understand that.
But the point is, it happened.
I would say that you go after Oladipo because it's a low risk, high reward.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a free agent next summer.
Mm-hmm.
So you give
it still
him for,
opens up your cap space.
Yeah, you get him for 1 year for $21 million and then he's an unrestricted free agent. And I just think like I love Hardaway and he did fit and he was better than I thought that he would be. But also, he's 27 years old. This year, he averaged less than 16 points a game. I really liked him, but I think if you're thinking logically, building a team, we have to give up something in order to get better. I think Hardaway is the obvious piece because
I don't know. I mean, I think in today's league with the 3-point shooting and having to, and the fact is he can rise up at any moment in the game because he jumps really high in his 3-point shooter or jump 3-point shot. He has a high release, high arc. He can get his shot off at any time.
So then who do they use to upgrade?
Well,
or what spot? Say maybe not a trade forward, or whatever.
The third wing. For me, I like Luka and Hardaway and Dorian and Porzingis. I think that third wing spot would be what you would want to try to upgrade.
Okay, so do you have Porzingis playing the four or the five? Okay, see, I think that he should play the four. And I think that when Powell is healthy or whoever fills that spot, they'll go back to early in the season when Powell was the role guy and Porzingis was the pop guy. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
I hated it. And we talked about it on the pod, how we were like, why is Porzingis the guy popping? Like, he should be rolling. That's his strength. But whenever I was talking to this doctor about whether or not the Mavs should be concerned about KP's injury history, he and another physical therapist said the same thing, that really, it's just about the situations that he's in. Like, he probably shouldn't be in situations where he's rolling hard to the basket or exploding for alley-oops or posting up. And I thought, oh, that must be why they had him popping out, like on the three-point line, you know, the pick-and-pop guy. I think that's the ideal role for him given his injury history. And so I think he should play the four with either Powell or someone else being the role man.
I think then you would have to... The center position has to be a really unique center because he can't defend the fours on...
Who can't defend?
Porzingis. Because a lot of the fours nowadays are wings.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. So, yeah, he might be guarding Kevin Durant, and that's obviously...
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then Dorian would guard Kevin Durant.
But it creates a mismatch yeah. for the offense.
You're right.
And so it hurts him. So, but if you can get a center who is a center on offense, but... a wing on defense, the name, I'm not saying they're going to get him or they're going to be interested in him or anything like that, but just that style of the body type and everything would be a Ben Simmons because he's 6'10". He is a wing defender on the defensive end, but on the offensive end, if he was a pick and roll, cause he's got hops or anything again, yeah. I'm not saying that's who they should go after, but just that body style, that play type, to me, and I don't know if Dwight Powell can guard wings.
I don't know Dwight Powell.
I mean, Maxey would be the closest thing to that. So Maxey, essentially, you would be what you did this year in the playoffs. You would be starting Maxey and Porzingis.
Yeah.
So with upgrade then would be Maxey's position.
Yeah, or the five.
Yes. Basically. Yeah. So the five would have to be a Maxey type player.
Okay, so given that information, it said today that Miles Turner might want out of Indiana. He's a center. He's 24. He's tall.
He's 7 foot.
Yeah. Looking for his height on this page.
He's tall. He's a basketball player. So yeah. He's tall.
So let's say he wants out of Indiana. Now, he's got... 1, 2, 3 years left on his 54 contract. Million.
So then the trade would be for Oladipo and Turner.
Well, maybe not. I mean, that's not what I was thinking. Now, I guess maybe you're saying that's what it would have to be.
Well, I think, I don't know, because Indiana, nobody's going to take Turner. That contract. No one's just going to take that.
Okay.
And
why
so,
not?
Because it's $18 million for a guy that,
he averaged 12.5 rebounds as a starter, played 29 minutes a game.
Yeah, and that's $18 million right there. So
he can shoot. He shot 34% on threes.
He is a better three-point shooter than he's probably given credit for a big.
I mean, he's a career almost 36%
shooter.
So
then let's say, hypothetically, is this what you want next year for your starting lineup? Luka, Oladipo, Dorian, Porzingis, and Turner.
I mean, okay, I don't think that is in the realm of possibility, but yeah,
let's just say
sure.
Theoretically, that's what
I think that would be an upgrade in a lot of ways.
I think offensively.
I'm worried about the injuries with Oladipo, but we'll just, you know.
Yeah.
We'll go into dreamland here.
Let's just imagine Oladipo and Porzingis are relatively healthy for the rest of their careers.
Yeah.
And this could be a classic case of Oladipo where he's always injured with one team. The player goes to another team, never injured again. Happens all the time. Happened with Vince Carter, couldn't get on the court in Toronto. He's traded or goes to New Jersey. It's never injured again. Yeah. Literally played 21 season in the league or 22 or something like that. So that could be a case of that. But let's just say relatively they're healthy. You don't see any issues with that starting lineup. For me, I think offensively it would be great. I think defensively the Mavericks would really struggle.
Really?
Who plays the five?
Well, Miles Turner.
The defensive end? So you have Porzingis guarding Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis?
I mean, okay, so I would have to dig into Miles Turner a little bit more. I know him. I know of him because of watching the NBA. But I couldn't say right now, like, yes, that would definitely increase their win percentage by this much. And
I would say the length that they would have on the court would be pretty sick. And if they were to do, like, a zone-style defense, that might help because they would be so long and athletic that might work. I just see, and maybe in some teams it wouldn't be a problem. Maybe when you're going against a four guard lineup, you just start Porzingis at the five and Turner comes off the bench for those games.
So okay, explain to me again why the trade would have to be for Turner and Oladipo.
Well, I think you kind of have to spice it up both ways because you have injuries with Oladipo, but he's on a one-year deal. And that's really...
But I mean, I just mean, like, why couldn't the Mavs just get Miles Turner?
I don't know. Sure, I guess they could.
I didn't know if I just assumed, missed that.
No, part. No, no. Oh, okay. I just assumed if they're both available, you might as well try to get them both.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe, like...
I can't imagine any team trading for Miles Turner just for Miles Turner.
And not trying to get
Oladipo. And taking that contract, I would think in order for you to spice up the Miles Turner trade, here's an expiring contract of Oladipo who wants out, but he also may be good.
See, that to me sounds more like if the Pacers wanted to just...
Blow it up.
Yeah, kill everything and start over. And, I mean, maybe they do. I haven't heard that. I mean, that doesn't mean it's not true, but...
Well,
I would imagine they'd want to get back another star or something.
Then it, you know, then it doesn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the Mavs. Well, in that case, maybe they could just get Miles Turner. So let's say hypothetically you had Luka, Hardaway, Dorian, Kristaps, and Miles Turner. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think offensively it would be great. I just would have concerns about the defensive end of the court.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know if that's a lot of an upgrade.
Can Turner guard the pick and roll?
Yeah.
You know, so I think he can based on the games that I've seen him play against the Mavs. He does a really good job on Luka. But then if they put Porzingis in the pick and roll, you know, does that work? So I guess, I don't know. I don't know. For $18 million for an experiment, it seems kind of risky. I don't think the Mavericks would do that because it basically eliminates 2021, and they're not going to do that for a player like Miles Turner.
That's the other thing about the Mavs is that you know they're waiting for 2021.
I think in my opinion, I think if they get the right deal, the right players, they'll go for it this offseason.
Maybe. Since Luka was so good, how can you
Would you? You don't need
Why would you waste another year?
Star.
You have a guy that is equivalent to two stars.
You have two stars.
Yeah, with LeBron, you don't need two other stars. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's done that, but yeah. So it's, I feel like, don't do anything stupid, but you know.
And the thing is, he's a different player than LeBron. So LeBron didn't always deliver at the end of the game when you needed a bucket. Because he wasn't consistently shooting, whatever.
It's funny because of what he just did.
He did it against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
But, you know, historically, he hasn't done that very often.
Okay.
And Luka is going to be the guy that shoots that shot. True. He's not going to be passing it. It's not going to be Kyrie.
Okay, last of the free agent trade or whatever, Serge Ibaka. He's an unrestricted free agent. With the Raptors, I think they gave it a run to be like, we're still the same without Kawhi, but it's like, no, you're not. Do you think
I think he's available. Stays in Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in him?
Nah. I mean, if you got him really cheap, then I would. I think that would be the next option from a Ben Simmons type style quality, you know, build of a player, because he can guard a wing. I think he can do a better job guarding a wing than, it's not ideal, but than Porzingis. So.
Okay. Last question. When will Luka win MVP?
Next year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it depends on their record. If they can get some pieces and they can stay healthy and they are a top three seed in the West and he's averaging 39-9, how do you not give it to him? After what you've seen in the playoffs, he's already had a better playoff career than James Harden.
Ouch.
Statistically.
Burn. Yeah, I'm actually working on an article right now. I don't think it'll be published on DallasHoopsCast.com. It might be somewhere else. But of LeBron James records that Luka can break.
All of them.
Well, honestly, when you look at LeBron's records, this dude, like, the records he has are insane. Mm-hmm. So I picked out 7 that I think he could break. But honestly, like, the ones I picked out, it just shows how great Luka can be. Because I was like, yeah, I think he can do that. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's something totally crazy. But
the thing with LeBron that Luka may or may not have is just LeBron's health and his ability to still move like he did when he was 25 years old. And Luka, he might be able to do that. He might not. I think 15 good years of Luka would be probably more realistic, because that's what a typical player would do.
Yeah.
And then they decline. LeBron hasn't really declined yet.
But see, this is one reason why I think guys like Wilt and Bill Russell and, you know, all those guys and Oscar Robertson would still be great in today's NBA, because, like, if you play it out completely and not just as a crazy question or whatever, if you play it out and they have access to all of the medical advancements and treatments that LeBron has. Well, yeah. But just the treatments and all that LeBron does. You know, guys like that, like Jerry West and those guys, they would do all of the things that LeBron is doing.
Because it's not just the technology. It's the mental mindset, aptitude to do to work that
exactly.
hard.
So if you pair their greatness mentally and what they were committed to doing with today's advancements, they would totally be just as
also
great.
Makes you wonder if Jordan
on steroids.
Took his off seasons as seriously instead of smoking a cigar and drinking a beer after a game, if he took it as seriously, how much better he could have been. Either way, it's a completely different subject.
Okay, let's play a game. This game is called Walk of Fame.
Okay.
So I'm going to name an NBA star a great... And you have to guess if this star played for the Dallas Mavericks.
So it'll be easy.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be.
All right. Well,
when I had the idea, I was like, ooh, I'm going to stump Marty and then
make fun of him. But if they're a star, I should be able to... You want to be a star, don't you? I should be able to get it pretty easy.
Well, you know, I like pointing out when you're wrong.
Okay.
And so I thought
hopefully
this
I'll
would,
be wrong so you can
I
point
thought
it out.
This would be fun, but then when I got a list together, I was like, ah, he's going to know all of these.
If it's completely boring, we'll just edit it out.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know how many, because I didn't number them. I just bulleted them, but whatever. first one. This is a tough one. Andrew Bogut.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, it's not as hard as I all thought right. it would be.
Okay. I don't know if he's a star.
Well, he was. Yeah. And with Milwaukee, he was a star. He was, yeah. Shut your face.
11 points.
Latrell Sprewell.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. But you know what? He did play for the Warriors.
Very relevant.
Yeah. Okay. Zach Randolph.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah, for one season, I think.
Not even.
Oh, okay.
They acquired him in a trade.
And then he didn't even come over.
Yeah, that was when they traded for... They traded Harrison Barnes to the Kings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, next one. Rick Barry.
No.
Right, no. But he did play for Houston for 2 years. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, interesting. Next, Elton Brand.
Yes.
Okay. This is easier than I thought
it
would
be. Yeah,
keep
going. I'm feeling all right, good all right, about
all right, this. All right. Scott Brooks.
No.
He did.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yeah, he did. I wanted to say yes for some reason, but I backed away from it. Okay, but he's not really a star. He said this was star.
He's a star because, you know, he's a head coach and you know what his name
famous.
Is.
He's famous.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's well known. That's two links to the Mavericks because I think he and Carlisle go back.
They were best
in
buds
some way.
And,
yeah. Okay, next. Sam Cassell.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
He did.
A long, long time ago. Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Okay, next. I don't know why I say next after each one. I should just say the name and then that'll be enough.
You should just edit that out.
Okay. Robert Parrish.
I'm going to say no.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure that the answer is no.
You're right. But he played for the Hornets and Bulls. I didn't know that. And that's surprising. I mean, I guess you just, you know the Stars as the team they played for. You don't realize that most of them, when they get older,
they move on. Even Barkley.
Yeah, Barkley. Yeah. I mean, Pippen, like, they all play for these random teams, but
Jordan.
Nobody knows them for that. Yeah, Jordan. Okay. Alex English.
I don't think he ever played for the Mavs.
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
Next.
This doesn't have any rhythm to it whatsoever.
Chauncey Billups.
No.
Correct. You're doing excellent.
Okay, just move on. This is getting weird.
Gerald Green.
Yes, he did.
Yes, yeah. He did. You are correct.
Okay, I know. That's why.
This next one, I typed Tom Hardaway. It's Tim
Hardaway. Tim
Hardaway
Sr. And yes, he did play for the Mavs.
Okay. George Gervin.
No.
Correct. But he played for the Bulls.
Again, I don't understand what any of this
has
to do
with. It's just weird. I mean, can you imagine George Gervin in a Bulls jersey?
Well, like, no, but,
it's just,
you know,
weird. Okay. Christian Laettner. Laettner? Laettner.
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 I think he did play for the Mavs.
He did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Christian Laettner. Okay. Tim Legler.
Yes, he did.
He did, yeah.
In the 90s.
Tyronn Lue.
He did as well.
Yes. How did you know that?
I just remember, I think they were looking for a backup point guard to Steve Nash for a while.
Wow.
I think that's the time period.
That is impressive.
Okay.
That's impressive, Martin.
Okay, just move on.
Dominic Wilkins.
No.
Correct,
but he played for some random team that has nothing to do with Mavs.
Okay, he played for the Celtics.
Wow.
Spurs.
Oh my God.
Magic and Clippers.
None of those are Dallas.
I know, but can you imagine Dominic Wilkins in a Magic? Well, I mean, can you imagine? Like, right.
Next.
Okay. Dennis Rodman.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. I think that was an excellent game.
Thrilling, to tell you that much.
Well, it was
had me on the edge of my seat the entire time.
It was a good test of your knowledge.
Yep.
So the next game, we're not going to do it this episode, but in a future episode, I want to do, you know what? I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give it away.
Oh, no. You want to leave the cliffhanger.
Yeah, cliffhanger.
If so you want to know what the game is, you have to listen to our next pod.
Yep. Okay, and then I was thinking of doing one in reverse where I name a random no-name guy and you have to guess if he played for the Mavs.
So you are going to explain the game.
Well, no, this is another one besides the other
one
that
okay.
I didn't
just don't
want
mention
to explain
it in the next podcast. Okay.
Anyways, that's all I have for this episode. Is there anything else you want to share or say?
No.
Okay, great. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Sydney. Martin is Martin. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.